The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to episode 3 of the lectionary mini-series that is chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. Now, many of the continuous episodes of TV shows we watch today begin with a little short montage wrap-up of the previous episode, so that we are reminded of what happened before to lead us into the current episode. And in today's gospel, we find the same. We are reminded of Jesus' statement in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This was Jesus' final declaration to the crowd as the climax of our previous lesson. So here we are, ready for what's next. And the first thing I notice is that the crowd who speaks with Jesus and asks questions of him earlier in the chapter is silent in this part of the chapter. The people speaking with Jesus in our lesson today are a portion of the crowd the scripture refers to as the Jews. It's an important distinction, I think, as these are Jesus' people. The people who practice a faith of holy laws and worship given to them by God through Abraham, Jacob, and Moses. They hold knowledge of the traditions and history of their relationship with God and their ancestors. And they know Jesus. Or at least they think they do. They've been following, eating, and listening with everyone else. But now they are trying to understand what Jesus is telling them about himself. They're trying to work out what they know from the Jewish tradition and faith about God and Moses and manna and bread from heaven. And it appears they're going along just fine until Jesus goes one step too far. Jesus says he is sent from heaven, sent from God. What? Jesus from heaven? We know Jesus. His dad is Joseph the carpenter. His mom is Mary. We remember when he and his family moved into the village of Nazareth. How can Jesus be sent from heaven? when we know where he comes from. I shared a story in a previous sermon about the experience of our daughter's first week of life spent in the neonatal intensive care unit. The pediatrician on call at our local hospital that night, who cared for her from the moment of her birth, who cared for Matthew and me during this stressful and frightening time, was an essential person and part in how we coped and dealt with her condition. He was compassionate in his manner and persistent in his search for a bed for her in the NICU. He stayed all night in the hospital to be with her. He visited me several times during that sleepless night to share with me all that was being done for her. As you can imagine, I held him in high esteem and had the utmost faith and belief that he would see us through as our pediatrician after she was released from the hospital. Except, that wasn't to be. Just a few weeks later, he died suddenly. We learned that his son, also a pediatrician, was going to take over his practice. Well, that sounds wonderful, right? Well, Santa Maria, California is a small town. I had gone to high school with his son. He was a senior when I was a freshman. And the seniors at my high school were like rock stars to us lonely freshmen. And trust me, he was a mega rock star. In my mind, he fit all the bad stereotypes of a rock star too. He was the ultimate party boy, a rich doctor's kid. His high school antics made a lasting impression on me. So when it came down to him being our pediatrician, I couldn't let go of that. I couldn't imagine or begin to trust him to be the caregiver of my precious baby girl. Not this guy. I knew where he had come from. At least I thought I did. How quickly I had forgotten that he was the son of a man whose care for my family was full of love and grace. Knowing where anybody comes from or who they come from is not really knowing them at all. At best, it is a snapshot of who they are, part of their story, like a chapter in a very long book. At worst, it can be an assumption or judgment. It can marginalize people. Sometimes there's resentment and lots of fear. And oftentimes it's easier to hold on to that known story, even a bad one, than stepping into the risk of the unknown, or being wrong, or letting go. Hanging on seems right, but leaves little space for looking forward to the possibility of transformation and redemption and the future. So the people listening to Jesus think they know him too, just because they know where he comes from, who his parents are, and they want to be right. Anything else is too risky and challenges everything they think they know of God. Jesus recognizes this as they complain amongst themselves about him, and he's not daunted by their inability to get past his past. He continues to offer them the truth of God, that they wouldn't even be part of this crowd if God had not drawn them, that he will never turn away anyone who comes to him. Jesus promises that he is the bread from heaven that will give everyone who eats it eternal life. Now you see, Jesus isn't interested in the stories of where we come from or whether we think we are right about all we know. Thank God he's not daunted by any of that. He continues to teach us and show us what we really need to know. He is calling us to a relationship with him, the one who is sent from God, the one who brings us closer and closer to God, a relationship that isn't a moment of one part of our life, but that stays with us every moment, from the beginning through eternity. A relationship of unconditional love, no matter what we think we know, what we do, or what we say. Eating the living bread from heaven is about where we are going, not where we are from. From the moment we open our hands to the bread of life, we leave behind the need to depend on ourselves and our knowledge, and can look forward, trusting in the truth of Jesus Christ. Any and all of our stories and our lives are reconciled through Jesus and because of Jesus. And looking back through the lens of Jesus transforms our assumptions, our judgments, and our fears to looking forward with mercy and compassion and love. Jesus is the source of all knowledge, all that we need for the love and redemption between us, one to another, and to the world. Being fed by Jesus means we have a standing invitation to live with love and belonging to the family of God, along with everyone else who joins us at the table. In a few minutes, our table will be set with bread and wine, ready for all to come and believe, taste, and see. Ready to leave behind our stories that keep us from relationship. I have one to leave. How about you? I'll meet you at the table. Amen.